to try and just kind of wrap things up for us. Our theme is freedom, and it is truly the freedom that comes only through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that gospel that is saving and transforming, and that is really the only answer to all the things that we heard today and everything else. I want to say thank you again to HRC and the Jonah Project and Brianna Strandberg, and thanks for opening our eyes a little bit and challenging us at this area of critical ministry. You know, if you begin to read some of the statistics, it is overwhelming. It is disheartening. It is wells up within you a rage almost that these things could happen to these precious young boys and young women, and it's hard to understand. Yet at the same time, you think of the devastation that's happening to these young people, the victims, and that's even more heart-wrenching. And if we as individuals and if we as a church are going to do something, then we are going to need a spirit-led, courageous compassion. And that's where I want to challenge you today. Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and verse 16, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Ultimately, freedom, true freedom, as we've said, it comes, and healing comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to bring freedom. When we think of the vulnerable out there, and they're all around us out there, I know we're so oblivious, I think, to this, but there's vulnerable, deceived, blind, broken, rebellious, people that so desperately need to embrace the love, truth, and grace of God. Yet, you know, I think our question is, so what do we do? How do we find them? How do we engage them? And if we engage them, then what do we do? They're caught in this horrible web of darkness, and what is it that I could do? Those are good questions, and I hope that you will struggle with them, and I pray that the Spirit of God would light a fire in your heart and give you a personal vision, and that he would give a vision to our church as well, that he'll stir us and challenge us and change us today and set us on a path where we can do something. Out in the foyer on the IGM table, there's a stack of white handouts. It's a 2 pages, double-sided, and it's entitled 100 Ways That You Can Fight Human Trafficking Today. I challenge you to grab one of those, because if you're like me and you're overwhelmed by this and it staggers your mind, you think, well, what could I do? What could I possibly do? This is a place to start, to get great educational suggestions, and there's great just practical suggestions, places that you can start. I love Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 14, it gives us a picture of the heart and the character of God, and this verse is indicative of a lot of verses that we could cite today, but Psalm 89, 14 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." That is the heart and character of our God. He is a righteous God. He is a God that is just and is full of mercy and truth. And so knowing that to be true, we know that he is a God that wants to rescue and redeem and restore these young men and these young women. People are vulnerable in so many different ways. And I think as we try and understand, you know, how did this happen? How could they get caught up in this web of darkness? I think sometimes it's hard to understand their vulnerableness, because it's sometimes masked by poverty or hunger or homelessness or feeling unloved or unvalued or something else. But the one that's taking advantage of them truly is dehumanizing them. And when they take advantage of them and dehumanize them, they really are doing that to one who is created in the image of God. And so the attack really is on the character of God. And I think that's something that we need to understand. But along with that is the fact that when we walk by, when we look the other way, when we're so wrapped up in our own stuff and our own lives that we refuse to get involved, we too, in a sense, are dehumanizing these people that are vulnerable and that are caught up in this horrible web of darkness. And sometimes we struggle to see them just because we travel in our safe little circles and we have to break out of those some way, somehow. And then also open our eyes because some of these things are happening right in front of us, more than we know. On that, also on that same table, there's some sheets that give a lot of statistics in the foyer, and so you'll be your heart will be torn asunder as you read some of the stats and what we're talking about today. There's a story about during the Civil War that a young soldier lost his father and his brother, his only brother, in the war, and he was distraught. His mother was having some major issues along with the death of her husband and the death of her son, and he went to Washington, and he was trying to get in to see President Lincoln, and you know he had no appointment, and they refused. Security would not let him through, so he went out to a park nearby and sat on a bench, distraught. What could he do? What was going to happen? And this little boy came up to him and asked him what was wrong. And he told his story, and the little boy says, "Come with me, I can help you." And the guy followed this little boy across the street, past security, into the White House, down the hall, through the offices, right into the Oval Office, right up to the desk of President Lincoln. And President Lincoln says, "What is it, Todd? What do you want?" And little Todd said, "I have a man here, Daddy, that needs help. He needs to talk to you." And so the man told his story, and President Lincoln indeed did help him. But the thing is, it seems so simple, doesn't it? Just being able to, because little Todd was in the park, he saw this man, and he engaged this man, and then he ushered him into the arms of his father. And really, that's the picture that we're called to, is to see them and engage them and usher them in to the arms of the Father. So we've got to go to the park, right? and the park is found a lot of different ways and means, but we've got to go out there. We've got to be out there much more than we are. And Luke 10, verse 25, you remember there was a certain lawyer that stood up and was going to test Jesus, and he says, "You know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And in verse 27, so he answered and said, Jesus answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind." Now, that was not something new, right? That's Deuteronomy 6:4. And then he said, "And your neighbor as yourself." And that was not something new. That was Leviticus 19:18, right? What was new? What was striking about that? What was striking about that is as Christ put those two things together, it portrayed the very essence of Christianity, what it means to follow God. It emphasizes the importance of following our Lord, loving Him, and loving people. And there's a couple places in the Bible where the essence of Christianity is portrayed in a verse or two. Another one that might come to mind for you is in James 1:27. And that one says, James says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What do these two summaries have in common? Well, one is really the love and obedience of God, and the second is the love and compassion towards man, right? In James there, We see that, you know, to keep yourself unspotted from the world, one who's loving the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, spirit, everything that you are, you're going to be unspotted from the world. But both of them talk about compassion and love and reaching out and meeting people, I think, where they're at, meeting people that are vulnerable, meeting people that are struggling. And so this is at the essence and the core of God's heart and his calling on us as believers and followers of Messiah. In Luke 10, a little further, verses 29 through 37, he's wanting to justify himself now, and he says, yeah, but, you know, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor, right? And verse 31, Jesus has started to tell a story to answer that question. In verse 31, it says, now by chance a certain priest came down. Remember, the man had been injured beside the road. A certain priest comes down by the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite comes, and he looked, and then he passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan comes, and when he saw him, it says he had compassion on that wounded man that had been left along the road. And then finally, at the end of that passage, in verse 37, Jesus says, you know, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. And that's really our commission today, is to see that man by the road who's distraught, who's broken, who's vulnerable, who's deceived, who's caught up in bondage, who's in captivity of some sort, to see him, to have compassion on him or her, and to go and do likewise as this Samaritan did, this good Samaritan. We don't know the reasons why the priest and the Levite walked by. We can theorize, and people have all kinds of ideas. I'm sure you've heard many of those things, but we don't know for sure. What are your reasons that you walk by others that are sometimes in need? And, you know, is it either you're busy or you're distracted, or, you know, we all have these things that we could say that we might try and justify ourselves. I think Jesus wants us to identify with the priest and the Levite in this story to some degree, because that's a picture of us, right? That is a picture of us, far more than we know, far more than we'd like to admit. But he also wants us to identify with this vulnerable man, this broken man who's lying there half dead. We all, in a sense, were completely dead, right? Dead in our sins, yet Christ didn't leave us there as a living dead. He came, and he didn't just risk his life to save us. He willingly gave it for us and saved us. So Jesus speaks life into our death, and he wants to speak life into the living dead that are walking around us all the time. So there's a picture of a Christ in the Good Samaritan, and it's a call for us to do the same. God has equipped the church, the body of Christ, I believe, for this type of ministry, to help bring freedom to these young men and these young women. And here's a couple ways that he has done that. We have already this wonderful community in the church that they desperately want and need. We have family and love here that they desperately want and that they need. Right? We have the Word of God. We have truth that they desperately need. Right? They're blinded. They're deceived. We have significance and calling and purpose. Eternal significance, calling, and purpose that they want and they need. We have reconciliation with men and women and with our God. Shalom and the transforming power of God. It's seen in the church wonderfully. And we have a hope and a future that we can offer to these people. So I believe if we can lay hold of this and capture this vision and find these people, see them, engage them, and usher them to the heart of the Father and into the heart of the body of Christ, the church, we can be part of this transformation, this part of this rescuing and redeeming. I'll mention just a couple of these. Psalm 82:4, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Isaiah 58:6, is not this the fast that I chose for you, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them? Do not hide yourself from your own flesh. And then finally, Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphans, and plead for the widow. And these are pictures of, the Bible is filled with these kind of verses, these kind of commands to us, the church, the followers of Christ. And if we're going to do this, my friends, we must have courageous compassion. And I want to challenge you today. I believe that God is calling us to this area of ministry. And you pray about it. You seek Him. I love William Wilberforce, the leader of the movement to abolish slavery in Britain. He said this. He says, as he was looking at slavery, he said, "So enormous, so dreadful, so irredeemable did the slave trade's wickedness appear that my own mind was completely made up for abolition. Let the consequences be what they would be, I, from this time, determined that I would never rest until I had effected its abolition." To abolish it. Do you feel the heart and the determination? That came from he saw the depth of depravity and the hurt and the pain of those that were in bondage and in slavery around him. And so I hope that we can do the same and we can have that kind of determination. I want to close. This is a prayer that I read that somebody wrote. I want to read this to you, and then our worship team will come up and we'll close with a song. Listen, may this prayer be your prayer. It says, "May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may delve deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and shalom. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon you and stir you and challenge you and empower you to fulfill the cause of Christ. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain and rejection and starvation and war and sexual exploitation, so that you may reach out to comfort them, to turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough faith to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others will surely say cannot be done." Amen. That is my prayer. I hope it is your prayer. Would you stand with me as our worship team comes?